Everybody, welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. I'm delighted by today's guest. We oddly met like all of a week ago. He's somebody I've LinkedIn known for like forever, but we actually got to know each other just a little bit a week ago over a really cool circumstance, and we'll get into that in a second. His name is Tristan Bordell. He is the founder and CEO of I Am Freight, which is IMFR, the number 8, because he's super clever. Dude, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me. We met and like, yeah, you just asked me to be on this pod.
I said, let's do this. Man. So Tristan, before I get into our kind of little backstory here, which I think is really cool, tell me a little bit about I Am Freight. Tell me a little bit about your career path. You know, what is it you're out to accomplish, my man?
Wow. If you guys have a lot of time, so I'm going to try to cut this short. I've been in the business now for, I'm going to go on my 21st year coming this September. Started in 2004, selling LTL for a little brokerage out in Torrance, California. Learned the LTL business. And then from there, 2009, I ended up at Covenant Transport with a sales, basically a partner that I met on the sales floor of Diversified. And what we did was we started our own agency for LA in 2009, did that for 10 years. Left in December of 2018 to start I Am Freight, which is totally 100% all on my own, which is just trucks. And I wanted my legacy. I wanted my names on the truck. So yeah, it's been a pretty cool ride for the last 6 years. That's how I started.
So your transition from brokerage model to in-house or to like asset-based trucking company. I went through the same thing, I guess about 6 months ago, joining talent from a brokerage background. It's been real eye-opening for me, man. But what have been the biggest surprises going from kind of not owning trucks and operating in a broker model to you're in charge of everything like insurance and fuel and all that stuff?
Well, Mike, as you know, being at Talon, I actually learned more in the first year of running a trucking company than I ever have in any of the 16 years of brokerage experience before that, or maybe 15 years. And I said, holy cow. This is a lot of responsibility, a lot of organization. You have a big responsibility to the public to keep your equipment in tip-top shape. And then you have to deal with drivers. Whoa, was that a learning curve? I've never driven a truck. I can't even back these things up. And there's just a lot of things I didn't know about the business. Where in brokerage, a lot of us think we know everything because we deal with the customers. And the customers dictate, you know, that customer is always right type of mentality. And when you figure out that you're actually owning the assets and have that responsibility and the financial responsibility and the people responsibility and the government responsibility, everything needs to be perfect in order for you to stay in business. And that wasn't the case in trucking. And that's why I really, really appreciate, you know, getting my hands dirty and starting I Am Freight and learning the hardest part, and not to mention running it in the hardest state. I chat GPT'd it because I was so frustrated. I go, where is the hardest state to run a trucking company? And lucky us, Mike, California.
That's true, man. So one of the things you talked about just a second ago, and I love the way you phrased that. I've never heard a phrase this way. I thought it was terrific. You have a responsibility to the public to make sure that your equipment is up to date and well maintained. And I don't think that's a view that many in the trucking community are willing to share or really say out loud. What's that like? Tell me kind of where that feeling came from, et cetera, man. Cause I really, really like it. It took me back. I like the way you phrased it.
Well, let me begin by saying that, you know, I've been audited by the state of California 3 times. Either I'm really unlucky or I call it pretty lucky too, because I get to learn a lot from the CHP officers that are coming. And you know, California is the only place where you're, only state where you're required to do 90-day inspections. And what I started to realize was, wow, as a broker, I didn't know hiring the wrong person or hiring the wrong carrier. What if they didn't keep up with their brakes or their tires, that on the front end. So there's a lot of front loading that you have to do, and doing it every 90 days is not only expensive, but it's also it's smart to do it that way, because I guess the rest of the United States has to do it within every year, annual inspections. And we're at 90-day inspections, which is actually really good for us because we're able to get ahead of tires balding, brakes, airline, things like that that really matter that could become bigger jobs. And so there was, and you know, those can cause accidents. You know, you don't want a tire with a falling around or steer tires going, blowing up and the driver losing control of that truck. And yeah, and it's and because I've been in the three accidents. So yeah, that's the reason why I've known, to really take care of our stuff. And because when you get accidents, the state of California wants to know why, even if it's not your fault.
I understand, man. And it's really, it's tough because to your point, 90 days is more aggressive than most states, but look, people don't walk away from accidents with 18 wheelers, right? Like it just doesn't happen. You're driving with 20 tons on your back. You're not going to stop on a dime, and that 20 tons behind you isn't going to stop really quickly. So I hear that. One of the things I caught on your website as I got to know you a little bit was you're very focused on the driver experience in working for you. What's that all about, man?
That's like the first principles approach, right? It's all about the fundamentals. Get that right, and everything else will fall into place. I think they're really important, being that they get a lot of. They don't get the attention that we give pilots, and they're like pilots on the road. And one of the back in the days, and when I was thinking about the idea of buying, my first truck, and my business partner at the time, he ended up not doing this with me, but we would talk about it and say, these guys are like pilots. They get all of our freight here. We have no idea how it got here. It all magically appears, at the grocery store or in our house or, and we don't thank them enough. I mean, we actually disrespect them. We don't let them in the first two lanes. We cut them off. We get mad because they're in our way when we're at a mall or something. It sucks. And I start to really become very, very involved in their life and this relationship that we have. And I just realized that's how they feel. And one of the things that I wanted to do was, okay, if I'm going to do this right, and the way I treat them is the way they're going to treat my customers. And that was one of the things that I always thought. I mean, it's just like brokerage, right? Like you got to find the greatest carriers. Our choke point is finding a great carrier. So as a carrier, my choke point is finding great drivers, right? That's the only choke point that we have, among other things that we have to deal with. And you know that, especially being in California, the compliance here is just off the charts hard to navigate, right? Like no matter how many lawyers you have, there's so many different opinions. There's just, does anyone know what's going on, Mike?
So I'll tell you, Tristan, I spent a lot of time hanging out with the team over at Harvard Trucking Association to get a feel for what's going on. And that seems to be where I get most of my trucking news. That and following far too many members of the media on Twitter and on LinkedIn and via Feedly. And speaking of members of the media, so the way we met, I think, is kind of fun. Again, we knew each other on LinkedIn for a while, et cetera. Probably, I know I've heard your name a bunch of times. But over the past couple of weeks, the team here at Talon has been working with FreightWaves and putting together a documentary. So Tim Dooner, who's a host of What the Truck over there, was in town and had posted out on LinkedIn, hey, let's all get together for lunch. And I thought that was really cool. It was top to bottom representation of our industry. And I think it took him about 15 minutes to get 20 people to show up, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was actually really cool. He's a good dude. Just having a conversation with him beforehand. And, I literally started my LinkedIn journey in the last 4 months. I just kept posting and telling my story, sharing my experiences, and just sharing things about my life. And because someone told me it shortens the sales cycle, people get to learn about you. And I didn't think my story was that cool. It just slowly got into everyone's network. And I get these DMs. And I get to meet guys like you. Hey, you want to be on a pod? And I'm like, wait, my story's not cool.
Absolutely, man. Of course. No, I get that.
I still don't believe it. I'm like, dude, Mike, just it's crazy because when I see my trucks, like, there's times where I'm on the 210 because we do the 5. So we do Portland. We've been doing it for 6 years, Portland to Rancho Cucamonga. And they take the 210. And I live off of the 5 in Valencia. So there's times where I'm going down to Pasadena, I'm taking the 210. I'm like, wow, look at that truck. It's all white and clear. I'm like, oh, snap, that's James, or that's Glenn. And it blows my mind, because I remember when I used to, you know, be at Covenant, I'm like, how do you even own these trucks? And I still can't believe to this day that it's happened, and it's really crazy.
Cool, but when it comes to sort of your career path and the things you've learned along the way, what would you say are the one or two like coolest experiences that you've been a part of?
Oh man, well, you know, I think a big part of that is the brokerage from Covenant, right? Like, I got to see how brokerage evolved in the 10 years I was there, from 2009 to 2018. It's just, you know, hyper growth, hyper revenue, and then tech coming in it. So yeah, that's really cool to be part of brokerage, where it literally got, and then being, everyone knows the word supply chain now. Before, no one knew what a freight broker was or what supply chain is. And that's pretty cool to actually, because I just felt this is an undercover way to make money. No one knows. So that's cool to be in an industry that was undercover. And we don't have to wear suits and ties. So, and the other thing is just building a platform, you know, for drivers and really doing it 100% on my own and learning. I just felt like that is one of the hardest things to do, is go, and I'm 100% bootstrapped, no investors. No one handed me this trucking company. It's all started straight from let me figure this thing out. That's a really cool thing to be part of, building something and having the people believe in you and count on you to make it a success. I really think that's one of the coolest things.
So thinking about, you know, the growth path that I am Freight's been on, thinking about the way you treat your drivers and your team, what's next for you? Where, you know, is it geographic expansion? Is it a couple of more, you know, premier shippers? What's the goal over the next, say, 6 to 12 months?
Well, you know, now that I have the experiential knowledge and I think I know what I'm doing, I would like to offer it to smaller carriers that are friends of mine that I've known for years, where we get together in a community and share experiences, learning by what we've done and what doesn't work, and share the tools that we're using and build tools together to help us. Cause there's not a lot of tools for carriers. Also the data out there, it's not carrier prescribed, it's shipper or broker prescribed, and no one knows what it's like to run a trucking company. I mean, everyone wants to talk about rate per mile and the cost, but there's risk per mile. There's also, you need to have revenue requirements to run your business. I mean, these are things that are not taught to you, unless you find someone that can really help you. So the education is big. So for me, I think we want to do tools, education, and put them in front of profitable loads and find that. Cause I definitely want to go back into my brokerage. And by the way, Mike, I do have a brokerage, but it's for my legacy customers. But I really wanted to go to school like a doctor, be a doctor of freight. You know, this is how I do things. I want to do it with my, you know, just experiential knowledge, get into it instead of, you know, theory.
I think it's really interesting. I don't think, you know, until you've sat behind the wheel of a truck, until you've, you know, gone down to the port and seen what's happening there, until you've had somebody, you know, quite frankly, flip you the bird in their little cars, they whip in front of you as you're praying to God you can slow down that truck. It's entirely theoretical to be out on the road there, man. And I get what you're saying. I like that. There's a, you know, have you looked at folks like Broker Carrier Summit or even Harbor Trucking Association or California Trucking Association as a way to sort of share what you've learned?
No, that's why I've networked, Mike, for the last year. I you know, since the market sucks anyways, and I've surrounded myself with really, really, really successful people. There's a group called Entrepreneurs Organization. They're not in trucking at all. I'm part of the LA chapter, just networked at. I thought I could learn everything on YouTube, looking it up on Google, and just going along my way. And I didn't know, you know, I've always known about hard work and I've always known about smart work. I just never knew about network. So in this last year or year and a half, since April of last year, so I'd say about a year and a half now, I've been really pushing the network. And that's one of the things I, because if the economy sucks, like, it doesn't matter whether I go work hard, I'm not going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So I might as well find out what's going on out there. And I'm telling you now, it's amazing. And the network is great. Like, look, I got to meet you. Because I'd be so busy going, oh my God, I got to remember all these things I needed to do for my business. So I worked in my business instead of working outside of it and trying to figure out what everyone else is doing. So you're going to see more of me, Mike, where I'm going to network not only with you guys, but other entrepreneurs in different spaces and all of Los Angeles just to figure out what to do. Because I feel like now, before I used to go, why don't I know what I'm doing? But there's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing. Even if you really think they know what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing. So it's great to hang out with a bunch of guys trying to figure it out together.
I love that answer, man. Hey, so the one question I ask every guest that comes onto the show, if you're talking to, let's say, a new or recent college grad, or even a high school grad who's thinking about, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up? And they say, supply chain's in front of me. Is supply chain something I'm interested in? What is the piece of advice you'd give that kid?
Well, I would say, you know, it's great. Like, one of the reasons why I love this space is that it's residual and it's relationship building. It's, you don't have to continuously find new leads every single time. You find 6, 7, 10 customers and you're set for life. And you build relationships. I mean, I have the same 2 customers, or 3 actually. One of them went out of business because the founder died. But the first 3 that I had, which I still have today. So, or I would have had 3 if one didn't go. But I love that. I'm like, man, I can't believe I still have the first customer that I cold called on. Like, that's the stuff that you really build. And I mean, you can't say that in any other industry. That's really, because you're constantly solving problems. There's a problem with every shipment. There's a problem with every month. There's a problem with every day, with every minute. You're solving problems all day, so you never get bored. And if you do get bored of one industry, you could always jump to the next industry. Everyone ships. Yep, so that's the reason why I chose this industry, because there's constant problems to solve. And if you get bored in an industry, you could always pivot to the next industry that you want to pursue.
Love it, man. Tristan Bordello, he is the CEO and founder of I Am Free. Thanks for being on the show, Tristan. Everybody else, thanks for listening.